understand what the problem is here.
With Carmichael Dave, Katie Christensen, and Nate Goodyear.
New morning, team.
Put the top down. Rev your engine.
Say, what goes on this morning?
Welcome to the drive.
I don't know if I want to say, wow, I really respect that about you, or if I want to say, gosh, that is so stupid.
Come on, man. Wake the f*** up. The drive.
Shut his mouth.
Here we go with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
That keg is almost tapped.
Yes.
And they're going to get every last drop out of it.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios. Coors Light, with great beer comes great responsibility. Now the drive continues with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
It's the Republic versus the Seattle Sounders Saturday. 7:30 match begins. Bonnie Field, Kate Scale, have your coverage. I'll be on the call with the play-by-play voice, Jason, not Jason Ross, other Jason. Been doing this in our third year now, as a matter of fact. Purchased tickets at Sac Republic.
And you don't know his last name.
FC.com. No, I do. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140.
That's the boss backing up. I'm sorry, man, but I didn't feel like it.
I do. Come on. Of course I do.
That's uncomfortable.
44-1140 on the text line.
It's still uncomfortable. Guess what?
Let's go to AC. You're on the drive.
Hey, Dave, you better keep your job at the station because that was a lame Jay Ross impersonation. Just saying.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No.
I don't know what was going on there.
Know.
That wasn't a Jay Ross impersonation.
That's not what was going on at all.
It's pretty terrible, though.
Go ahead.
So, I just want to talk about the coaching change. And as you know, in Kingsland, hope springs eternal. But a couple of caveats. If you saw the picture in the Sacramento Bee with Jaeger clutching Matt Barnes' jersey, trying to restrain him, just fast forward and picture DeMarcus Cousins photoshopped into that picture. And that's what will be going on next year. And I'm a total Kings fanatic, and I really, really love the hire. But hopefully everything will go smoothly, and we'll all be talking about this with big smiles on our faces next year.
I hope so, AC, because here, before we went to break, I was goofing on saying why this won't work out. But I hate being this guy because I'm never this guy. I'm never – Nate's more this guy than I am. This is out of the box for me, but I think it should be said.
Tell me.
Don't tell me what I am.
Dave Jaeger has a great resume. Dave Jaeger did a phenomenal job in Memphis. I find myself like a beaten dog – having to temper my expectations and flinch a little bit.
Well, hell yeah. They just hired a Hall of Famer 8 months ago.
And when you want to talk about this.
Whatever it was.
Because he was the only person available, by the way.
Let's talk about Dave Jaeger's success everywhere else. And when you put that up against George Karl's success everywhere else, Dave Jaeger's done a really cute job.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cute job that he's done so far.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to what George Karl
right.
has done over his career is what I'm saying. That's no disrespect to Coach Jaeger. And we see what happened with Karl. Now we can get into the whole, you know, he was past his prime, blah, blah, blah. Everyone's tradable, whatever.
No, that's not what this is about.
It's
this
not
is
what
about
this is
how
about.
Excited we were for the last coach they hired, too.
And guess what? You can have all the
Don't
coaches
throw me
great.
Into that. Don't throw me into that loop of we.
Well, you weren't.
Fine, Katie, you were the brilliant prognosticator.
Yeah. No,
thank
I'm
you.
Not,
you
no,
didn't have
I'm
a
just,
sign up that
just,
said Karl must go.
Yeah, because I was working.
I don't remember those.
That's not my role. Like, I wasn't on this show then.
I don't necessarily remember off-air arguments we had about how much you thought George Karl wasn't good either.
I said that you were literally the reason that this was happening.
Oh.
I totally blamed you.
But that was after we all didn't like George Karl.
No. So here's the thing. I have nothing against George Karl, and I said it yesterday on the show. His resume speaks volumes. You hear it loud and clear. My only issue is the fact that, yes, he lobbied for the job because he wanted the job, but every coach wants to work. My issue came with the fact that it started with the going off the rails by getting rid of Michael Malone, who I think that was making huge progress. I still, for the life of me, cannot come to grips with why that happened. It shouldn't have happened. It did. You have to move on. Then you have Ty Corbin, who is put in a tough situation. Then when things aren't going well, guess what? Yeah, there's a lot of season left because you fired your head coach like a month into the season or a month and a half. It's crazy talk, right? And then because you're panicking, because that's what this organization did, especially under Pete D'Alessandro, who paid way too much attention to what social media was saying. He made bad decisions, like coming on this station and trying to justify himself and just completely ruined it. I think that was the beginning of the end for him. Then you hire George Karl, who is literally the only coach available that has any kind of a resume at that point.
It was a damn good resume, though.
Yes, it was. But this, at what point did it ever come into consideration? Why, after winning Coach of the Year in December and making it to the playoffs, did he get fired?
Why did Dave Yeager get fired after making the playoffs three straight years?
Lionel Hollins get canned after? Sure. Isn't that how Dave Yeager got his job?
There's some similarities, we're saying, between these two organizations. I mean, we've already covered that.
Yeah, I mean, who cares about what happened with George Karl, Michael Malone, all that? The point that Dave is trying to make is simply that we were excited about the last one, too. So to sit here and just wet our pants over this guy, I understand some apprehension this year. We've gone through, 10 years now of mismanagement, regardless of who's in charge?
I'm just happy they did a coaching search.
You brought up the abused dog thing. I'm totally with you, 100%. I can't believe that I'm sitting here going, oh, my gosh, the Kings might have done the right thing. Because you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Sure.
What is it? I mean, does Dave Yeager have Zika virus or something like that? There has to be something.
Zika virus?
What's the catch?
It's
completely understandable. It's the same feeling that we get at Kings as Kings fans if we're playing a good team and we're up 18 in the third. Anyone is thinking is, how are they going to their way out of the win?
By the way. Oklahoma City fans feel the same way.
But Oklahoma City fans feel that way in the playoffs.
Yeah. But so here's my logic behind this. And we haven't gotten into this, and I think this is a really good discussion to cover. I feel with 100% certainty that this is a move that not only do I like the move, right? And I'm sure they could have hired a couple other coaches that I would have thought it was a good move as well. But I feel without a doubt that this is a coach that we're going to see on the sidelines for at least 3 years. There is finally going to be some stability, and I really, truly believe that. And that has been one of the biggest issues with this organization. And I'm not even just talking about under the new ownership. I'm talking about even going back to the Maloofs. Stability has been just fleeting here.
There's no doubt. The when I hear you say that, Katie, maybe it wasn't you, but the only thing that's tempering what I'm thinking is that a year and a half ago, it was finally we've got a guy in George Karl that knows what he's doing. Finally, we've got a guy. It's a 4-year deal. We're gonna have all these same things were said. Different situations.
He missed the playoffs 2 years prior.
I think it was once, wasn't it? Yeah, or under 500.
Yeah. Sure, thing.
Completely get that. Three. And by the way, mismanagement. I hate her. I hate her so much. She's such a bee.
Closely related to Mavis Beacon.
Hey, Brett, you're on the drive.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for calling.
What's up?
Is that it?
Yep, that's it.
Go ahead, Brett.
Yeah, I'm looking at this with a glass half full mentality. I think it's a great hire, and I really think we got two top-notch guys. I don't know if any of the radio shows have touched on Cantonella. I just checked out his resume and read some articles on him. Just wanted to get your guys' opinion on him. And it really seems like the Kings have been able to hire some top-notch guys despite their reputation.
No, we were just actually talking about Cantonella in the last segment, as a matter of fact. When you put Vlade there, who's kind of your head recruiter, the guy that if you're trying to get free agents and you're going around the league, there isn't a player in this league that doesn't respect Vlade. You have Cantonella, a guy who knows the cap like the back of his hand, and then you bring in a 42-year-old superstar, you hope, and Dave Yeager. It's a good threesome.
I agree.
Oh, I'm losing you there. Let's take one more. I know Sam Amick coming up here shortly from USA Today. We'll get John in Stockton. Stockton checking in big time today. Hey, John.
Dave, Nate, and Angel,
hey.
Baby.
Oh, man.
What's happening, y'all?
What's up, man?
I love hearing you in my eardrums in the morning driving this big old truck.
Oh, hey.
I'm
absolutely a sucker for this. Can you do the trucker horn, please?
Yeah.
That is just so freaking good. It never, ever gets old.
Every time.
Hey, guys, man, we're in a good situation, man. I know we said this about Karl, but the man was unhealthy. He couldn't talk. He couldn't get down the sidelines. He's butting heads with everybody. He's calling to trade people from his home. You know what I mean? Like, you can't step on your own feet that many damn times in 1 year. Whether it's your health or whether it's whatever it is, you got to still have some stability to the way you treat your franchise.
John, you bring up great points, and we all sympathized with George for sure. There was a reason why he couldn't yell. The guy was a two-time cancer survivor. There was a reason why he couldn't walk. He needed knee replacement surgery, which he just got. But the bottom line was he couldn't yell, and he couldn't run up and down the sidelines, well, and that's part of coaching.
That's not even just it. Take out that part, which makes doing your job extremely difficult. It wasn't just DeMarcus Cousins who George Karl clashed with. It was multiple people.
Sure.
And
according to George, you know, there were players that wanted him to.
Oh yeah, that wanted him to step up and stand up.
I don't disagree. I actually kind of believe that, but that's a whole different topic.
No, I'm sure that there were, but
I think there were some players that wanted that.
Players on the other side of the fence, and I can name two because they continually got called out in the media by their coach when they were playing extremely well. I have a serious issue with any coach that does that in the media. Because
you're talking about Curry and Willie Cauley-Stein?
I'm talking about Willie Cauley-Stein and Seth Curry.
Yeah, those are kids. They need to learn how to man up. It's an adult game.
And you know what? They did.
It's the NBA.
They responded the right way, Nate. They responded the right way. But as a former player, I'm like, that is completely uncalled for and exactly how you lose your locker room. So how hard was he trying to keep his locker room intact is my question.
He writes for USA Today. I call him the Kevin Durant whisperer because he gets more good stuff from Kevin than anybody else going right now. And the breaker of the Dwight Howard free agency saga to Houston, covering the Oklahoma City-San Antonio series, formerly of Sacramento, currently, I believe, of Elk Grove, and from Pleasanton, California. There's your intro, which probably means we lost a connection with him. It's Sam Amick. Hey, Sam, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. How are you?
Good morning, friends. How is everybody?
Hey, nice TV appearance the other night, buddy.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Caught you right behind the scorer's table.
I tell you what, man, and I tweeted this. I fully understand why in most NBA arenas that it's now harder to put the media on the floor. They take care of us at Sleep Train a lot of the time. The Warriors is kind of tough because you sit at the top of the lower bowl. I know these are first world problems, but
but you know what? It's hard. It is hard to see what's going on and being said in the interactions. I'm with you, Sam.
Well, my point, Katie, is it's this. You know, listen, the Warriors last night were unbelievable, but this OKC Spurs series, I've had the luxury of sitting at the 50-yard line on the floor, and it's been one of those moments where I'm sitting there going, "Oh my God, I got paid to do this."
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I mean, the action's been unbelievable.
They're not a bad series at all when you look at it.
No, it's been great. I mean, you had the drama in the rough segue there, Dave, as you were sharing my floor presence walking around with the world the other night. The series went great. I didn't cover the first two games, and so you had, you know, this absolute blowout in game one, everybody assuming that the Thunder just are going to get overwhelmed and there's no way they can keep up with the Spurs. Game two, I was at home hoping for a Thunder win for the mere fact that it would make for better copy and better stories. And I'm sitting there watching, you know, that ridiculous final sequence that was one of the most memorable playoff blunders officiating-wise that we've seen, you know, probably ever. So, and then that, you know, that's followed by two fantastic games out in Oklahoma City. It's been great.
Sam, if Kevin Durant's able to play like he was the other night, how tough is this Thunder team going to beat for the Spurs? Because you can see their plan was, hey, let's let Kawhi shut this guy down. In game one, it worked. And, you know, now that Kevin Durant's playing well, it doesn't look real good for the Spurs, I'm thinking.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's a lot of layers to the series. But on that part, Nate, you know, Durant's defense down the stretch got overlooked because of how he just exploded offensively. But Kawhi Leonard went 0-5 in the fourth with Kevin guarding him, and I kind of love that little subplot because we all know these guys have got egos, and the superstars have the biggest egos of all. And there's a funny backstory here where, you know, if I got to predict and handicap it, I don't think Kevin Durant is going to be voted on the first team All-NBA. He's going to get bumped by Kawhi. And even for me, I voted for Kawhi, and it was tough, but I put Kevin on the second team. and made the mistake of sharing that with some of Kevin's people. What did I hear about it? And so it gave me a little window into Kevin's world where I'm watching that game four where he gets the better of Kawhi down the stretch, thinking, I guarantee you, that he's looking at Kawhi going, you know, you're really starting to piss me off here, dude. So that aspect is big, and you got to know that Kevin's motivated. But then, you know, you just never know from game to game how things are going to go. The Spurs, obviously capable of just grinding you to a pulp with their system and the way LaMarcus had been playing the first three games. And Kawhi is, to me, the X factor, because as great as he is, it hasn't been that long that he's been carrying the offensive torch in the kind of way that he is now. And if it's going to be a night like the other night where he just doesn't rise to the same level as the other stars on the floor, then they're going to be in trouble.
But you got to look at this Spurs team, Sam, and where I expected this series to be very good because Oklahoma City has some phenomenal players on it. And I'm not too sure about Billy Donovan yet because I really don't know what kind of a coach he is. He's got great players,
did
right?
Did you pick him to win, though, like Nate and I did?
No, I didn't. And, okay, you know, right. I still don't think – I think the Spurs are still going to win because of this point, Sam. Even though you did not see a Spurs-like team in this last game, you know that Greg Popovich is the master puppeteer when it comes to making changes in the playoffs and changing his team's fortune.
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, that's the coaching component. Even you give Billy Donovan the benefit of the doubt to the extreme degree, and he's still, you know, you're still handicapping that in a pretty serious way towards Pop. And, you know, the adjustments are going to happen. I mean, specifically, you know, what I mean, I thought Billy did some nice things in game four. I mean, he goes with Enes Kanter over Serge Ibaka in the fourth quarter, and Kanter, to his credit, holds his own defensively, hit the boards, they dominated the glass. That was big. He makes the choice to finally get Cameron Payne off the floor when he just had deer in the headlights going on, and Randy Foy just gave him a nice presence. He's just going to be a calmer player. He hit a big three. But with Pop, I mean, the adjustments are definitely going to be there. I don't know what they're going to be. I'm wondering just, and this is more not a tweak, but a bigger overall system thing is, you know, they were certainly – isolation heavy this year more than ever just because they made the most of LaMarcus's talents and Kawhi, but you know they still have that beautiful basketball quality where, you know, I kind of feel like it's time for them to get the ball moving. I think they had right. 12 assists in the last game, and one of the beat writers, Jeff McDonald, was saying like this is supposed to be, you know, one of the most, you know, offensively just beautiful teams to watch. And that was, I think, two assists away from a franchise low when it comes to assists. So they got to get the ball moving, and these guys got to step up. But you're right. I mean, Pop's going to make adjustments.
Sam Amick, USA Today, joins us on KHTK. Call you Hansel or Gretel for the breadcrumbs you left last week when it came to Elston Turner interviewing here in Sacramento. So let's talk a little bit about that timeline. Dave Yeager becomes available Saturday morning. Dave Yeager is on a plane, on a private plane, Vivek Ranadive's plane, the Kings plane, Sunday. They pick up the family in Nebraska. They're out here Sunday. He's hired Monday. Today there's a press conference at 10 a.m. Was it an absolute coincidence that all this happened so quickly after a methodical coaching search, or do you think there was some groundwork laid, perhaps as you alluded to, with Elston?
I don't know that it was, you know, the secret kept behind the scenes that they revealed at the end and it all came to fruition. But I just think that it definitely was a situation they were monitoring and a situation where potentially, depending on, I mean, the level of interest was obviously there. You know, they hired the man, but there was definitely a point in time when the possibility of a trade, you know, was in play. And, you know, it's a type of thing that you saw with Doc Rivers a couple of years ago going from Boston to the Clippers, where it's within league rules that if a coach decides he wants to leave and a team decides that they're going to part ways with him, they can get a draft pick back and some cash, things of that nature. It can get messy, but that would have been an option. I don't have clarity on the level of King's interest in that type of scenario, but the Grizzlies are taking some heat from their fans for not pushing more on that because they decide to just expedite the whole process, have a clean slate. They know their coach doesn't want to be there anymore, and so we have what we have. But, you know, they were monitoring things, and I don't know. It's funny. The Kings, you know, are it's pretty easy to rip on them these days, and I've certainly been tough at different times. There's a lot of just bad, negative stuff, dysfunctional stuff going on. But the coaching searches, it kind of bugs me how everybody chimes in with their two cents about the right way to do it and the wrong way to do it, because I think a lot of it is just based on what you already think of the team or the executive that you're talking about, you know, like i.e. Phil Jackson in New York. If you already thought Phil was asleep at the wheel, then you're going to destroy him during this coaching search. You know, if you thought Vlade didn't know what he's doing, you're going to act like, you know, being thorough is the wrong way to go. I mean, they were trying to go through a lot of names, a lot of candidates, and they found themselves in a good situation, but not one that just popped up and saved the day.
Well, Sam, it sounds like at the very least then this was an opportunistic hire by the Kings, but do you think that they got the best available guy for their situation?
I don't even know anymore, Nate. It's really hard. I mean, in a vacuum, I like Dave Yeager a lot, and I've covered him a decent amount with playoff stuff, and, you know, did a long interview with him a couple of years ago that I enjoyed, where I learned a lot about him as a guy. You know, rock solid individual, family guy, one of those Tom Thibodeau guys that is married to the craft, even though he is a married man. And he loves the game. You know, he's one of those guys, you rise through the D-League ranks. And I think we saw the, you know, two-time coach of the year in the D-League. And we saw the benefits of that kind of experience last year with the Grizzlies, where they had so many injuries, 28 players in all on the roster. And he can mix and match and keep his team afloat. I think you also saw on the back end when he got emotional in his post-game press conference when they lost in the playoffs, that, you know, kind of where his heart is at and that he cares about his players. So those are all positive qualities. But then it's like, all right, now let's talk about how he fits with this team and this superstar, you know, and this front office and this ownership. So that part I can't handicap, but I do think he's a very good coach.
Okay, Sam, before we let you go, I've got two quick things for you. First, the piece that you just mentioned doing on Dave Yeager, for all the Kings fans out there listening, I'm going to make a plea for you to tweet that story out, because I know a lot of people are wanting to get to know their new head coach, so, and I'm one of them, so go ahead and do us a solid and tweet out that story. I would appreciate it. And
nobody read it back then, so.
Wait, you write stories?
Especially here. I mean, it has new meaning for everybody here, so there's that. But I think the upcoming offseason for the NBA is about to just be unprecedented. It's going to be insane. And Kevin Durant is one of those names that everyone is just throwing out there. Saying it now, is he leaving Oklahoma City or is he staying in your mind?
I'm going to handicap that he signs a one-year deal in Oklahoma City. Because, and I just wrote a big piece on this that I'll tweet out also later today. And honestly, my head still hurts from writing this story, because when you talk about the cap stuff and the money, it's complicated stuff, but it's very germane to his situation. And I'll be honest, guys, I knew that Thunder had a financial edge in this thing. I didn't have any idea that the types of numbers we were talking about. I know we got to go, so I'll give you the short version. If he stays in, and money's not going to make this call, but I mean, my God, they're going toe-to-toe with the best Spurs team of all time. So they are a good team. They are a championship-caliber team. So if he stays and he does a one-year deal and then a five-year deal in the following summer, to take advantage of that soaring salary cap, the combined salary over the course of six seasons is going to be $227 million.
Oh, whoo. This hurts my head.
If he leaves, and this is, to me, the most likely scenario, if he leaves, I don't think he'll do a one-year deal, even though he could take advantage of the cap, because what happens is that team then has to keep the salary cap space available in the following summer. It makes it really hard to build a team around you. And so a four-year deal somewhere else, and granted we're talking 4 years versus six, but you guys can do the math, is $110 million.
Ooh, that's not even close when you break it down.
No. Well, and here's a little tidbit in that context. That gap, you're talking $107 million, or 17 rather, it's more than Kevin Durant has made as a player in his salary for his entire career to this point.
And Sam, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, that's it. I mean, the money stuff is huge and I think somewhat overlooked.
Do you find yourself comparing this to Chris Webber's free agency with the Kings at all?
How so?
Well, it's small market, first superstar, on the verge of a championship, people wanting to mow lawns and stuff, you know, whatever. I mean, it seems like there's some similarities between the two.
There's a lot of that. I was in OKC for a number of days, and they even think they need to get some of those Maloof billboards up, yeah. And do a little more. But they are, it's funny, they don't, the organization always made a choice to accentuate the team, not the individual. But lo and behold, as they near free agency, pictures of Kevin Durant have popped up all over town. So, they're trying to make sure he feels the love. That town really loves him, man. He's been there since he was 20 years old. I just don't know. We could do an entire show on the Durant thing, but the Westbrook factor is big because I guarantee you before July 1st, he's going to ask Russ if he's going to stick around next summer. And that's going to be a big factor too. So I think, but he could do the one-year deal, do it, at least do one more year with this group, see what happens, and then make up his mind again next year.
Well done, Sam. Have fun out there. Hurry home. You got a lovely family out here. I'm sure you miss, and we appreciate your time.
Yep, you got it, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, that Sam. Is Sam Amick. We're way late for a break. When we get back, did Dwayne Wade listen to us and apologize? Did he listen to us yesterday? And is Dwayne Wade sorry? Well, we'll find out next. It's Drive Sports, 1140 KHDK. Got a good thing going. Well, you're Nate Goodyear.
I am.
Unfortunately, you're not Steven Strasburg.
No.
27 years old, agrees with the Nationals to a 7-year, $175 million extension. That's $25 million a year.
Then you have an opt-out after the fourth year or something
sure,
like that, too.
Whatever. Man. $175. All guaranteed if he wants it.
Hey, that's what I make here. $175.
Yeah. Roughly.
My goodness. To go out every fifth day and throw a ball.
I mean, they do more than that, right?
They what?
They do more than
he hits three times a game, maybe.
Okay, of all the sports, though, baseball with the best contracts.
Yes.
I mean, honestly.
For
it's
what
not
you
even
do.
Close.
I mean, but they literally play every day.
I'm not saying it's not exhausting. Yeah.
You're working 6 months
terrible.
Out of the year.
Exactly.
That's
every
fine.
Day. There's no. You get days off in basketball, at least.
Sure.
But I mean, wouldn't you think that maybe football players would have a little bit more guaranteed money?
It's funny to me, the discrepancy in terms of salaries in professional sports.
And
it comes to the NFL, who I think really put themselves at risk at a far greater level.
They look like Quasimodo after 5 years.
Well, it's all about the strength of your union, right? Obviously, the NFL one sucks. Look at all the stuff
also,
that the baseball players...
Well, they have like 90 people on their roster.
Well, yeah, but I mean, look at all the great things that the baseball players get, okay? Like, they had to fight like crazy just to get any level of drug testing instituted at all.
Sure.
Like, the players union is so freaking strong on that. I mean, there's not, like, how long it took them to get HGH testing? They're so good at keeping that stuff gummed up that baseball will always be two steps ahead of the law when it comes to testing procedures. And then you've got these guaranteed contracts. Like, look at that. 7 years for that exorbitant amount of money, and he has a player opt-out just in case.
Just in case.
He's not making enough money on that ridiculous deal that he just got.
By the way, I can sign you to a 7-year, $175 million contract to my football team, and I can cut you in a year and not have to pay you anything but the guarantee. That in baseball,
you get 30 of that. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. In baseball, if Steven Strasburg decides he does not want to opt out, he plays that whole contract, he's getting $175 million. He's not getting a penny less.
Mm-hmm.
And of all the sports, to me, it's always been pitcher. Because you talk about working 6 months out of the year, but let's remember with Steven Strasburg, he's sitting and watching for 4 out of every 5 days.
Yeah,
now
not really,
he has
though.
His. Well, he listen. Yes, he has his throwing sessions. Yeah, every third day he's got to get up and he's got to throw, and then he's got to chart pitches. But come on, man, he's traveling around, staying in 5-star hotels on private planes, and he goes to his real job. He works. He actually is on the mound. Once out of every 5, maybe 4 days, depending on injury. And then
I don't
what?
Agree with that.
Well, what else is he doing? That. He's working
because
out? He's charting pitches?
Because all of that stuff is work. Like, if he doesn't do that stuff in his 4 off days, he's not going to be worth it. He's not going to be earning a $170 million contract.
I totally get that. But
and also, pitchers, I think, have a much shorter shelf life. In terms of
I think
their
overall
peak, I really
hitters,
do.
I mean, yeah.
Well, a guy that's already had Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But seriously, I mean, really, Nate, you're pitching every fifth day. And like I said, yes, I get you chart pitches. Yes, I understand that you've got to run with the team in the outfield.
Well, you only say something valid every fifth day.
Right, exactly. And I'm not getting paid $175 million. I mean, of all the sports, the major sports and all the positions, my goodness, being a pitcher, good for you, Steven Strasburg. Yeah. You're 27 and the world is your oyster.
Only thing that's better would be being a relief pitcher with that kind of contract.
Yeah, that's...
Come in for a few innings.
In other Nationals news, Bryce Harper got mad last night. Oh, and not only did he get mad, but he got mad while my computer was muted. So let's hear how he got mad and why he got mad.
And it's in there. Strike three, call with a slider. And Danny did not think so. And he has words with home plate umpire Brian Knight as he departs. And he's been thrown out of the game. Somebody has. Whether it's Espinosa or someone in the dugout. Dusty Baker's coming out now. Well, Bryce Harper was yelling. Oh, boy. I think Bryce Harper got thrown out from the dugout. He was hot from earlier in the game. So Espinosa was walking away when Brian Knight turned toward the Nationals dugout, threw someone out. And I think he threw out Bryce Harper, not Espinosa.
Yeah, he threw out Bryce Harper, who the previous day saw 27 pitches against the Cubs and didn't swing at a single one.
Yeah, whole weekend was kind of like that, frankly.
Yeah.
It was the first time that a player has had 7 on bases without a single hit.
6 walks ties a baseball record for most walks in a game, plus he got hit. No record of a player having more plate appearances in a game without recording an at-bat in the past 100 years. And then the guy that actually threw him out, that's Lincoln's own Brian Kelly. That's Grant's golf buddy. That was the guy.
That was Brian Knight. Buddy.
What'd I say?
Kelly.
Oh, Jesus. Brian
Knight.
Yeah, I'm just making sure that I wasn't.
I'm having a rough day.
You know what? It's Grant's golf buddy, Brian Kelly, and Dave's actual golf buddy, Brian Knight.
Brian Knight. Also, yes. Grant's golf buddy, Brian Knight, and who I've played golf with, who is local. That's the guy that threw out Bryce Harper. By the way, and I was joking earlier, the guy who does play-by-play with me in the Republicans, that's Jason Lockhart. Everyone knows that. Get out of here.
I knew that.
Of course you knew that.
That's cute that it took you that long to find it in your phone.
do you guys think that that Bryce is getting frustrated? Like, is this he's not getting pitches anymore.
Right.
The Cubs game, it wasn't just that one game.
It was a series.
Yeah, he was walked something like 13 times during that series. And it's going to be really interesting to see how he evolves, not just with the attitude like that. I mean, it's got to be frustrating to see one pitch a weekend.
Well, right? Yes.
But this is the same type of thing that Barry Bonds went through. And so it's not just going to be the personality and kind of the attitude adjustment. It's going to be his numbers, too. Mm-hmm. What happens now that you might get one strike a game, Bryce?
So what,
that's it.
What numbers really matter when you look at it? Is it the numbers in terms of your batting average and how many pitches
I like
you know, are thrown?
Percentage.
Or or is it your bank account? I'm
yeah,
serious.
Ask Jason Worth.
Complain all you want. Yeah, it's going to affect things. But guess what? You're going to get paid to be that guy that nobody wants to pitch to.
After the game, the game ended. The Nationals won as they all piled up at home plate. Bryce Harper was seen turning to Brian, the umpire, and saying a naughty word that we can't say out loud. Here's what he said about that after the game.
Our cameras, we were here tonight, caught you on the field after the game. Yelling something
the umpire. I think I was pretty upset. I don't think that was right to even do that. So, let him hear what I have to say, and let him hear it again, and so what?
What'd you say after the game?
A couple choice words. Absolutely.
Do you think you might get fined?
If I do, I do. I'll pay it. So I think he deserves to. Maybe he'll get fined too. So we'll see.
That's Bryce Harper.
That's happening.
Yeah, he's probably gonna get fined. No way. No chance. Now, Bryce Harper will get fined.
Bryce Harper will get fined.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's happening. He's getting fined.
Bryce Harper's going to drive people crazy, but the thing that I greatly respect the fact that Bryce Harper has been the same Bryce Harper since he was 16 years old.
Yeah.
You're not going to change.
No, he's Bryce Harper. He's a red ass, and he doesn't have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. That's who he is. He's also very good at baseball.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a break when we come back. Yeah, did Dwayne Wade apologize? Did he apologize for his transgressions against an entire country? We'll wrap up the show next. It's The Drive on KHDK. I seen your girl post a BM. It's all over Twitter right now, and it just wrapped up, apparently. Firefighters and police rescued window washers who got stuck on a slanted rig 17 stories up in Manhattan on a building.
Man,
that's just out of the realm of the things that the biggest nightmares for me, something like that, being stuck
Washing windows? I know. I've seen your windows.
Even being up there, you couldn't. I mean, it was slanted down. It was slanted down.
Lots of things can go wrong there. What happened when we were there for the Kings game? There was another big rescue. Oh, that's when the crane fell. We were there when the crane fell in the village, and it was pretty close to our hotel, and a huge crane fell down. That's when the wind, it was snowing.
Where was this?
In Manhattan.
Oh, okay.
Yikes.
Earlier in the year when we were there for the Kings game.
That's right up there.
It makes me happy that the biggest thing that could happen in my job is that I fall off this chair.
Well, yeah. You ever done a dangerous job like that?
No.
You probably have branded cattle or something like that.
I rode a bull.
Okay.
I rode a bull. That's dangerous. I
used a jackhammer once. Is that
perfect?
The most dangerous thing that Dave has ever done is use his little Black and Decker electric screwdriver and not know what he's doing.
No, that's a good point. That's actually, I've used one of those electric saws before,
and it was one of those things where he's like, "Here's the screwdriver I have for you to put up my light fixture," and I'm like, "This is what you've got to work with right here." It's like one of the battery ones where you put in two AA batteries. Right. I'm like, "This is really I could do more doing this with my foot right now."
This is a kid's screwdriver.
Fisher-Price screwdriver. So what?
Got it in a raffle. Yeah, won it in a raffle.
Exactly. I won it in a raffle. Screw you.
Speaking of raffles, by the way. You can join Nate and I out at Hoblet Dodge for the grand opening of the new Ram Truck Center this Saturday from 11 to 2 p.m. And like Nate was saying a little while ago, I don't know. I didn't know about the dunk tank. Now I'm excited.
Well, let me tell you something. You want people, let me tell you, whatever attendance they have slated right now, they better pull some extra chairs if you're running in the dunk tank.
And you can come by to win some prizes. They've got tickets to the Monterey Bay Aquarium and maybe a courtside seat to see me in the dunk tank. That's a good thing. But you can check it out at hobletdodge.com. It's this Saturday from 11 to 2 at 1990 Hayes Lane in Woodland.
It's 7 minutes from the airport.
It is. And by the way, the number one Ram truck dealer in Northern California. Fact. So how you like them apples?
It's true.
Not for nothing, but I have completely redone my backyard over the last 2 weeks, and you haven't been to my house once. To help assist.
That's why I've done it completely without you, on my own.
Planted everything.
He's hired people.
Rose bushes, new lawn in the front and back. Planted 4 citrus trees without you.
He hired someone to do it, by the way.
But I had to work to make the money to hire those people.
This is a real thing that he said to me last night. He's like, "Oh man, look at my rose bushes. See how they've only been in a week and see how much they've grown." I'm like, "Isn't it amazing what water does when you plant things?"
I didn't know that.
We're in drought, Katie.
I could spray them with the hoses.
We are
in
California here.
Dwayne Wade was in trouble yesterday, as I segue out quickly, because he made a boo-boo and kept shooting the old round basketball while O Canada was playing a couple games ago in Toronto, and then afterwards he said something if you think I was being disrespectful, then you don't know Dwayne Wade. All right, well, that didn't go over well, and the wrath of Canada was felt throughout the land.
All of them.
Maple leaves and syrup and flannels everywhere flying all over the place, and Dwayne Wade commented after last night's game.
I didn't mean to do that at all. And, no disrespect at all from me. I apologize for Canada thinking that I would disrespect them as a country. So today, just adjusted, how I normally get ready for a game and just, got in the line first and got ready for the game. Because at this time, I'm just focused on the basketball game. I have so much respect for the Toronto Raptors, obviously. And I have respect for, the country Canada, so didn't mean no disrespect by no stretch of the imagination. So today, got there early, make sure I focus, and then got to the game.
Attaboy, Dwayne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I hear that very first part right, where he basically said, "I'm really sorry that an entire country had that misperception of me."
Yes.
I'm so sorry that you guys don't know me.
Think I was disrespecting you.
Yes.
Not, I'm sorry for my actions.
I didn't mean, I didn't mean to do that at all. And, no disrespect at all from me. I apologize for Canada thinking that I would disrespect them.
Thinking that I would disrespect them.
It's a pretty unique way to go with that.
Manny Pacquiao appears to have won a seat in the Philippine Senate. According to unofficial results, Pacquiao has garnered more than 15 million votes. You can tell I'm reading this because I said garnered. Over 15 million votes with about 93% of precincts reporting. That places him 8th amongst 12 Senate seats, nearly 3 million votes in the clear. pretty soon it will be Senator Manny Pacquiao.
Okay.
Is that allowed? Is someone that's been hit in the head that many times, is that allowed to have him
make politics commentary?
Hey, stop being a concussionist. There's no room for your hate on this show.
I'm just saying.
We'll take a break for about, 21 hours. We'll be back tomorrow at 6 a.m. Yeah, Steve Smith will join us tomorrow. Pete Rose on Thursday. You're not going to miss that. We'll have your press conference coverage of Dave Yeager's joining the Sacramento Kings here in about an hour.
We're still waiting on Steve Smith. He's got a production meeting tomorrow. He's trying to figure out the time. No, we're trying to get him on.
I called it. Yep. He's coming on. For Katie Christensen, for Nate Goodyear, Jay Johnson is our executive producer. I'm Carmichael. Dave, Jim Rome is next. The press conference at 10 a.m. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 on Sports 1140 KHDK.